Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the tragedy continues to grow in the Indian Ocean. The Christmas tsunamis now have a death toll that has soared above 125,000 dead. Over a 24-hour period, the number of dead increased by about doubled in a 24-hour period. And this disaster could pass the number of dead killed in 1991 in Bangladesh, when 138,000 people were killed by a cyclone, a tornado. So utterly devastating. The effort is being hampered, of course, because communications and travel is so very difficult. There are still huge areas that have not been surveyed, and the number could increase dramatically still. And so, of course, people around the world who are able will do what they can to help. Here at Bob Enyart Live and at Denver Bible Church, next week what we will do is recommend, we're doing research, and we'll recommend a ministry that we think will be the wisest to send your money to if you're so inclined. You know, the Red Cross, of course, saves people's lives, but it's an organization that's hostile to Christianity. We're in a war against terror, actually a war against Muslim extremists, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is part of what will be involved in national security, in helping us as a nation to be more secure, so that we... Of course, we need to act quickly, but Bob Enyart Live is a small ministry. Denver Bible Church is a small church. And so we think even though we're small, we'll do the research and we'll put out on our website, on the show, and at Denver Bible Church a recommendation of the best way for Christians who are concerned to give financially and to help. Okay, so we're going to continue our discussion about what do Christians say about this in just a moment. First, a couple other news stories, and then we'll get back to the, you know, what do Christians say about, does this mean we're in the end times? Is this God? Is this judgment? And a number of things that we try to interpret, and then we put our face to the world, and we make statements to unbelievers, and we have to be careful what we say, because if we misrepresent the truth, that's bad. If we misrepresent God, it's horrendous. Okay, so before we continue with that, and by the way, your calls at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Just a program note, the mayor in New Jersey, the guy who's on the offensive in the culture war out there, Steve Lonergan, he led the Christmas caroling when the Board of Education said no Christmas carols. So he led, the mayor of a town, Bogota, New Jersey, led a really large Christmas caroling. He's against embryonic stem cell research. He's promoting an amendment to outlaw homosexual marriage. Quite an interesting guy, and for all that, in New Jersey, of all places. So we're going to have him on next week, I believe on Thursday, January 6th. If you want to tune into that, it'll be enjoyable. Okay, so now, oh, and by the way, Ramsey Clark, you heard that Ramsey Clark has joined Saddam Hussein's defense team as a lawyer to defend him. Now, who's Ramsey Clark? You remember that name? He's the Democratic U.S. Attorney General. He was the head of the Justice Department, appointed by Democratic President Lyndon Johnson. It's just bizarre, huh? Yeah, he's going there to defend Saddam Hussein. It's like when we caught Hitler, right? You're going to defend Hitler? Well, you could, if for some show, you could defend him if you want, or you could just kill him, which would have been more appropriate. And this Ramsey Clark, he said that, so he's in Jordan now, meeting, he's now part of the Saddam Hussein defense team, and he wants to make sure Saddam Hussein's rights are protected, and he does have the right to be swiftly put to death. That's the only right I would protect of Saddam Hussein's, the right to be swiftly put to death. But he said that he doesn't like how Saddam's being treated, but he said that America really should be tried in an international court for our war crimes, especially in Fallujah, for example, where we destroyed houses. Okay, so there's a Democratic U.S. Attorney General in the news. Okay. Oh, and before we get back to the Christmas tsunamis, I just reminded me of Bill O'Reilly, a show a couple weeks ago. He had a New York Times writer on, New York Times, very liberal. And O'Reilly, he's currently, he doesn't like the UN, which is fine. He doesn't like the UN. Or the General Secretary, Kofi Annan Donuts, that guy. He doesn't like him either. That's appropriate. And this New York Times reporter was supporting Kofi Annan Donuts and saying that, look, he was so much better than Boutros Ghali-Ghali. Remember that guy? The United Nations Secretary General, Boutros Ghali-Ghali. Remember him? I remember him. He was corrupt. And so this New York Times reporter is saying, hey, Bill, look, America, we're the ones who supported Kofi Annan Donuts becoming the Secretary General. It was us. It was America. And Bill O'Reilly, he was a little taken aback by that. He wasn't expecting that. And he let it go. And I was yelling at the TV and saying, Cheryl, honey, tell O'Reilly to say which America? What do you mean America supported Kofi Annan Donuts? Which America did that? Not my America, the America I'm part of. We were condemning him at the time because of his role in the slaughter of 800,000 blacks in Rwanda, his do-nothing approach, when we should have done something. And he was the key man at the UN who his incompetence led to that slaughter of nearly a million blacks. And so when the New York Times reporter said to O'Reilly, hey, look, we supported him. America supported him. I said, O'Reilly, ask him which America. That was the Clinton administration that supported this evil and incompetent guy, Kofi Annan, to be Secretary General when he should have been fired, if not prosecuted, for gross negligence leading to 800,000 people slaughtered. And instead, the liberals in the world, including Bill and Hillary, wanted to promote him to be the leader of the UN, and they did. So anyway, just a little note from our O'Reilly file. Now let's go back to the Christmas tsunamis and all the devastation, and we'll start with a phone call, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Highlands Ranch, Jim, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Great, sir.
Had to turn my radio down.
All right.
Bob, I enjoy your show, and I've been listening for the last 3 days, and the reason I listen is to get your perspective on things. Mm. And what I haven't heard is what is your perspective on this? What do you think, why do you think this happened?
All right.
Was God involved at all, or was he just an uninterested observer?
All right, God created a world for us to live in. It was a paradise. He gave us that paradise, and because of our sin, the paradise itself has become a hostile place to live. The
right.
world broke. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of the devastating consequences that would have been even worse if they had stayed there. And as a result of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the whole world was watered by the four rivers that came out of the Garden of Eden. And apparently, Ezekiel 31, those rivers were stopped up. The Garden of Eden became overgrown, and there was a drought over the whole world. And then Noah's flood occurred over a period of 1,600 years. The earth was suffering under sin, and it resulted in Noah's flood, which broke the crust of the earth.
So was Noah's flood an act of God?
Yeah, God sort of, when God built the earth, he basically built in a trigger mechanism. that if mankind had rebelled against God and if we were evil century after century, then the flood, like God came to Noah and basically said, there's 120 more years or so, there'll be a flood.
Okay.
And there was a flood. So anyway, the flood, God authored it. He orchestrated it, but it was like a trigger mechanism he put into the creation of the earth that if we rebelled, then the population of the earth would be wiped out about 1,600 years later, and that's what happened.
Okay, now I agree with that. So would you say that this tsunami is also an act of God?
No.
Okay,
no.
Then what is it?
All right. God gave us this earth. It was a paradise. We destroyed it.
Okay, now I got
yeah, now we destroyed it, and it, now we're living in the mess that we made. And if I break something, then it's broken. I don't say God broke it or God wanted it broke. If I don't take care of my car and the transmission seizes up, I don't say God is doing this to me. I broke it. And we broke the earth, and the earth is now a dangerous place to live. And God doesn't micromanage my transmission. He doesn't micromanage whether it rains during a bride's wedding or the farmer's harvest. He gave us this earth, and the earth functions very well. He made it. So some Christians act as though God made the earth in 6 days, mm-hmm. and then he never rested, because if he rested, it would have fallen apart. They act as though if you build a fence, or if I build a fence, and then I have to stand there and hold it up,
uh-huh.
otherwise it'll fall down, I consider that a pretty lousy fence. And when God built the earth, he made it so that it functions. It has ecosystems that are so wildly complex, and it has incredible resources for us, and it functions. And then we broke it. We made a mess of it. So sometimes there are floods, earthquakes, fires. Fires are started by cows, by people intentionally doing criminal things, by lightning strikes. And for us to interpret everything as though it's somehow a revelation from God is misrepresenting God. It's not the story that Jesus Christ came to tell us.
Okay, but if you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and take over your life, and don't you believe that he puts circumstances around you that cause you to grow and mature and things like that?
God's pretty competent. He could do that with any circumstances you happen to find yourself in. If you're in a rocket going to the moon, he could help you grow. If you're working in the World Trade Center, if you're in a desert in the Sahara, he can help you grow.
And he can protect you too, right?
Well, he has the ability to supernaturally protect you. But in reality, when somebody goes into a McDonald's and pulls out a gun and starts shooting people and slaughtering 28 people,
right.
They're killing everyone they point and pull the trigger at. The bullets never stop midway because somebody prayed and put a hedge of protection around one person. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Now, Jesus was asked something like this, and it's recorded by the historian Luke in his gospel, Luke 13. Do you recall the story about the 18 people who were killed when the tower in Siloam fell?
Yes, I do.
And then also those who were murdered by Pilate when he mingled their blood with the blood of their animal mm-hmm. sacrifices.
Right. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
And the Tower of Siloam. And
yeah, I'd like to go through that really quick.
I'll okay,
take
go
a
ahead.
Minute. But I got to do a FCC warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob in Your Life that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, so Luke 13, some folks came to Jesus and they told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now I'm reading here. So some Galileans were coming from northern Israel down to Jerusalem, bringing animals to offer, and Pilate's soldiers met them on the road and killed them and their animals. And so Jesus was asked about that, because some people would think, hey, this God did this because there's some justice in this, because it's God's plan. So obviously God did it for a reason. So maybe the people in India and Sri Lanka, these people are being judged by God because they're worse sinners than other countries in the world. Well, Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no." And then he went on to encourage them to repent, regardless of their lack of ability to interpret current events.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is that you get your life together and you repent. Then he said, "Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no." And Jim, I tell you that I can't count the times when tragedies have occurred, and I've heard on Christian radio and TV some inane interpretation that this is obviously God's judgment on these people.
Well, I think for people to do that is out of line, but I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility that it's not God's judgment.
Well,
can and does judge nations, doesn't he?
He can do that. Whether he does that right now in this day, I don't believe he does for biblical reasons. But if a Christian were to say God can judge nations and he has, and I wonder if this is God's judgment, that's an honest question that a Christian could put out. And I don't think God would get angry at a Christian who's wondering that.
Right.
But for such a huge number of Christians in the millions and then thousands of leaders, Sunday school teachers, talk show hosts, to say this is God's judgment against Indonesia for being Muslim. And if God didn't do this, we're misrepresenting God. And it's wrong to attribute something to God unless you know he did it.
Okay, right.
That's my point. And I personally, I believe that God in heaven gets angry when we so flippantly say, well, this guy is a prophet, this is God did this, God did that. And some things we say that God did, he despises. Like there are millions of Christians who, 9/11, they said God did it. Columbine, 13 people murdered by two sick, wicked individuals. And they say God did it.
Well,
Adolf Hitler, God did it.
Well, no, I believe that Satan is in charge of this world, and I believe that he had a hand in all of those things. But don't you believe that God permitted that?
Well, God permits his
purposes?
Let's think through that. God permits you to take a glass of water, right?
Right.
And he permits you to give a glass of water to someone who's thirsty. And he permits you to withhold giving a glass of water to someone who might die unless they get the water in the desert. So God permits us to do everything from love your neighbor to murder your neighbor. So when we say, when so many Christians get on the air and they say, God permitted this, they have an ulterior motive. What they really mean is God was specifically permitting this. In other words, he was micromanaging it. He went down the beach and he said, this 3-year-old and that 4-year-old are going to be pulled from their mother's clutches and brought out to sea and they're going to drown. And this 2-year-old is going to be stuck in this tree and going to live. That's what they mean. They mean God micromanaged and permitted each particular person who would live and who would die. And my point is that is completely, it's unbiblical, and it goes back to pagan Greek philosophy where the fates and providence and everything that happened, whatever it was because God had micromanaged it. And I'm saying that's not Christian, that's pagan, but it's seduced Christian thinkers.
Let's take the case of 9/11.
Yeah.
Let's take Columbine, for instance. Don't you believe that Satan had a part in that?
Harris and Klebold may or may not ever showed up on Satan's radar screen. Now, when you say Satan, there's one Lucifer, and he has a very large number of demons.
That's true, yes.
Right? And so demons and Lucifer, they're not omniscient. And they're not omnipresent. So the devil's not everywhere at all times. So some people tell me the devil was in my room. And I say, well, you mean a demon? No, this was the devil. And then I know they're a nut. But, okay, so demons, I believe from the Bible, that demons could tempt us because we're body, soul, and spirit. They're spirit creatures. And while God limits the interaction between the spirit world and human beings, there obviously is some degree of interaction he does permit, so that thoughts could come into your mind somehow through your spirit that are destructive, temptations. And you could withhold that by being strong in the Lord, by exercising your faith, by loving God. You can put off the temptations of the devil and demonic forces. But whether or not demons had to be involved, or else Harrison Klebold would have never done that, that's not biblical at all. Because the vast majority of wickedness in the Bible is attributed to human beings, not to them being tempted by demons and not to the devil. It's mostly Hillary. Well, sorry. It's mostly us. We're the trouble. I wish it was all demons and the devil. That would be great.
Well, yeah, but sin, okay, if you don't want to say Satan had a part in it, certainly sin had a part in it.
Yeah, their sin, the sin of the people who ran the Columbine School.
Right.
It's a godless curriculum.
And God somehow used that tragedy to glorify himself, did he not? There's been many wonderful ministries that have come out of that tragedy.
Yeah, some of those wonderful ministries blaspheme God by saying he did it. But I agree. God can be glorified when wicked things happen.
Right.
It doesn't mean God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked, even when he has to kill them. It's painful.
Right.
And so when wicked things happen, there can be people there who honor God by being true to him no matter how difficult the circumstances get. And they stand up for the Lord, and God is glorified in that. But if you have a pagan culture where nobody knows God, everybody hates God, some guy is cheating on his wife, destroys his kids, murders a woman, his girlfriend, and he's an alcoholic and he's drunk and DUI, that doesn't glorify God. That's all a nightmare.
Right.
That's
okay.
A nightmare.
I got you.
All right. Hey, Jim, these are really great questions.
Okay, well, you've answered my questions, Bob, and I appreciate it, and I'll keep listening.
God bless you so much. Appreciate that. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. Now, a lot of this comes down to, there's a few different issues. Predestination and free will, right? That's one issue. And we have an album, audio tapes, the MP3 CD-ROM should be. Well, how soon should that be out, Pops? That should be out soon, maybe in a week or so, I hope. But predestination and free will, there's how many hours? 5 hours or so of Bible teaching on what does the Bible say on that topic. And it will blow your mind. It will really blow your mind when you listen, if you listen to that seminar that we have for you on tape or MP3 CD. It's a lot of fun because there is so much in the Bible. Christians who studied predestination and free will, they read 20 books on it, 20 books. They studied it for 30 years, and they listened to our presentation, and their jaw drops open, and they say, I never heard all those verses. Where those verses come from? Like we just covered the building that fell and killed those 18 people, the Tower of Siloam. You know how many times I've told that story to Christians in 30 years? And they've said, I never heard that story. What do you mean? What do you mean 18 people killed by a building and Jesus commented on it? I never heard of that. Yeah, Jesus was a talk show host. Well, no, they didn't have talk shows. But he used the news of the day to witness to folks. Of course, that's what we do. That's what the prophets did. That's what the apostles did. So talk radio, you know, not only is it biblical, but what we're hoping is that when we get to heaven, we could have talk radio and then pipe down into hell just to add a few lashes or something to those who did their best to destroy the people I love. But anyway, that'll be God's job to decide what their punishment will be. Listening to Bob and Your Live, could you imagine Hillary Clinton listening for 10 years to reruns? You want to put her in a fire and whip her? That'd be way worse. Just listen to Bob and Your Live. Let's go to the phones. In Akron, Colorado, Daniel, you're on Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, I had a question with you regarding your last statement, or I should say before, where you was talking about why you don't believe that this could be of God, this calamity.
Right.
And when Revelation speaks so much of God's use of different types of natural and other type of disasters.
Yes, it's all coming. You're right.
And yet, why would he be exclusive to say that that's only going to be during the apocalyptic 7 years of tribulation?
Well, it's not, because he did things like that during the Old Testament.
Right.
So it's not just for the book of Revelation. But my point is this, Daniel, if you're going to say that God did this, that God killed these 125,000 people, mostly children, you better know that you're right. Because if you're wrong, you're misrepresenting God. And God may be angry because people die because we live in a broken world. And it's not God who broke the world. It's us. We broke it. And we are destructive. And we are lazy. And we worship animals instead of the living God. Therefore, we are poor and we're more vulnerable to natural disasters.
In the same sense, though, the failure of individuals and nations to turn away from sin allows the calamities to have happened during the apocalyptic 7 years as well.
Well, yeah, but the difference is in the book of Revelation, God is actively, he goes through the seven seals.
Right.
Seven trumpets, seven bowls.
Right.
Not to mention the seven thunders. He goes through these, and he does these. He implements these. So whatever natural cause and effect there is for people to suffer in the tribulation, there's that. Plus, there is the active judgment of the wrath of God being poured out on mankind. And so what I'm saying is the Bible says that's coming. So when there's an earthquake or if somebody's toilet breaks and the house floods, Christians are like caricatures of themselves. We're almost like buffoons saying, well, God flooded, God broke your toilet.
It's failure to take responsibility for ourselves, what we cause or what we are.
Sure.
Human frailties has caused or allowed. Yes, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. And so we got to put it in perspective. When the Bible says God did it, we're on strong ground saying God did it. And when he says he will do it, then when the Bible says that, then he will do it. But every time somebody loses a tooth or some guy marries some gal, then Christians say, well, it's God's will. God put them together.
Well,
and then 6 months later, they get divorced and then they're confused.
Exactly.
Or there's a church that's in a division and the Bible says it's God's will that we have unity in the body of Christ.
There's a lot of error stated in the name of God. There's no question.
Amen.
About that.
Daniel, we're out of time. Thank you for a great call.
Thank you kindly.
I appreciate that. What a neat guy. All right. We are out of time, but I want to tell you, Bob Benyart Live, we've got so many Bible study materials, not only on predestination and free will, which you can get online at kgov.com. Click on Bob's materials. Look at our store. We have so many great resources. But also things about God himself. So interesting to learn more and more about the Lord and the Bible, an overview of the Bible. You could listen to it on MP3 CD-ROM, or you can listen on audio tape or read the manuscript, The Plot, our best-selling manuscript, the overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Plus, we have fabulous videos about the Bible, God, debating evolutionists, homosexuals, and studies through the books of the Bible. And then let me tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, a Denver suburb. What a neat school. The best I've ever seen. 20 beautiful acres, Christian campus, 431-5653, 431-5653.